I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. The scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to be children who obey. We are not to pattern our life after like it was before we became a Christian, when we didn't know better, according to 1 Peter 1:14. And Romans 12:2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the verses go on to say that we've been called to be holy in everything that we do. Why? Because he's holy. Well, why be holy? Because the scriptures say so. In Leviticus chapter 11, we've read that. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 says, be holy for I am holy. The Bible in several places tell us that we are to be holy because God is holy. He's our Father. He is our Heavenly Father once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. And we need to live our lives as, in other words, our testimony should be as one who does know Jesus Christ as Savior. We are here to present Him. We are ambassadors for Christ as Christians, and we need to be presenting our Savior as Lord. And as we do that, people look at our lives and are you actually doing what you say? In other words, are you real? Are you doing what God wants you to do with your life? People can see whether or not you are real. They can know, once again, by watching you. Now, that's sad because many people, many Christians are not living for the Lord as they should. And the unsaved world looks at that person and says, well, if they're going to heaven, I'm as good as they are. And so that means I can go to heaven. No, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. But if you've not trusted Him as Savior, you're not going to heaven. The only way you're going to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Quit looking at man. Quit looking at people and start looking to the Lord. But Christian, you need to be living your life as God wants you to live it, not as you want to live it as such. But I believe you will want to live the Christian life once you get into the Word, you study the Word, and you let the Lord lead you in this life. Well, now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, it says, and... Now, this is continuing the thought from 1 Peter verse 16 and so forth. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, Christian, the Lord gives us instruction in his word. And I believe that what it's telling us here, if you pray to the Father who judges every man's person's work, every man's work, he judges everybody without prejudice. We're to live our pilgrimage here in reverential fear. It's not a fear that God's going to kill us. It's a reverential fear of knowing who God is, of realizing who he is. He's the Creator, and he's the one who sent Christ to die for us on the cross. We're to live in reverential fear. And we're to live this way because you know you were not redeemed. You were not made acceptable with God or to God with contaminated things of the world, like silver and gold. Those things are going to pass away. You can't buy your way into heaven. But we know how we were saved, and it's also not from proud behavior, and that means good works. You can't go to heaven, can't buy your way in, and you can't go there by good works. There's no way you can work your way into heaven according to the Scriptures, and we've just read that, 1 Peter chapter 1 here in verse 17 through 21. We are accepted because we accepted the truth. We did not accept the truth from our ancestors, according to verse 18. That means tradition of our fathers. In other words, it's passed down from generation to generation. It becomes corrupted, and someone says, well, I believe you're going to go to heaven this way. Grandma did it this way. Grandpa did it this way, and if it's good enough for Grandpa, I'm going to... Well, that's not good enough. You must do it God's way. You can't do it man's way. You've got to listen to the voice of God. Now, if your grandpa or grandma and grandpa believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as Savior, then you need to do it that way. But if they say any other way, if there's any other way to heaven according to them, you need to shun that, and you need to go God's way. You need to go the scriptural way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't go by what your ancestors have said. You need to go with what the Word of God says, what God says. We're made acceptable according to these scriptures that we've just read. We're made acceptable to God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was offered as a lamb without imperfection and without sin, according to 1 Peter 1:19. And the offering of Christ was determined in advance, before the creation of the world, before the creation of the earth. And He was made known to you in these last times, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And it's because of Christ that you believe in God. Only it's through Jesus Christ can we actually believe in the one true God. And I hear a lot of people saying, yes, I believe in the Creator. I believe in God. But what God are you believing in? What God are you trusting in? There's only one God, and that is the Creator of the world and all things. But remember this, that Christ is also God. And unless we receive Him as God, unless we receive Him as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ the Savior, the Messiah of the world, unless we receive Him through His blood, then we're not going to see the real God. It's because of Christ that you can believe in the true God. Well, we keep reading in those verses, 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21. And we also see there that God resurrected Christ from the dead. Some people say, well, Buddha was a prophet. Mohammed was a great prophet. And Jesus was a great prophet. Well, there's a difference here. Jesus Christ, first of all, is the Son of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but He did not remain in the grave. He came out of the grave. He was resurrected on that third day. He's alive now, and He's seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and I who know Him as Savior. These other so-called great prophets are dead. They're gone. And they're burning in the deepest regions of hell today because they did not receive Jesus as Savior. They did not receive the witness of God, the true God, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've led many people astray, and they're burning in hell today because they did not receive Jesus as Savior. Well, notice verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now believe what the Scriptures are saying here. Since your souls have been cleansed of impurities by doing the truth, through the Holy Spirit's leading, you have become a sincere, or you are able to have a sincere love of the brethren, according to verse 22. That unfeigned love is not a pretend love. It's a true love for the brethren. You are to love each other intensely without impure motives. In other words, it's not wanting something back because you love. It's you love because you have been saved. You do know Christ as your Savior. It's not a pretend love. That verse once again says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. That's an unpretentious love of the brethren. a pretend love. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Give it all you've got. It's not pretend, it's real. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, and there that is again, not of corruptible seed. Remember, we read that in verses 17 through 21. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You have been born again. You're not of contaminated seed, but uncontaminated seed, through the word of God, which lives and will never die, according to verse 23 here. Verse 24 goes on to say, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Every living thing is just like grass. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And the importance of man is just like the pretty grass, the prettiest part of the grass, the importance of man. In other words, we see the pretty part. But as the grass fades away, the pretty part of the flower disappears, so does man. Once again, 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. It goes. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We think we're something when we're not. We're nothing without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This life is going to go. It's only the life that we have in Christ that's going to last forever, for eternity. Verse 25 of 1 Peter says this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He's saying here, but the word of the Lord will last forever. It's not going to fade away. And the gospel that is preached to you is the everlasting word of God. It never changes. It can't be added to, and it cannot be taken away. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the last chapter there gives a warning. If you try to take away or add to this book, to the words, to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it says that you're cursed with a curse. The Bible teaches us that we need to reverence God. We need to live as Christians. And what I mean there is this. You can't live as a Christian unless you are a Christian. You cannot have a Christian testimony unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray you've done that. And if you are saved, you need to be acting like it, living for the Lord.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.